Before we get started on this, say hi. This is Eric.
Hi, this is Eric Mendez from Old Tourniquet Band.
Say, this is Eric Mendez from Tourniquet, and you're listening to my chapter of As the Story Grows.
Hi, this is Eric Mendez from Deliverance. Hi, this is Eric Mendez from Tourniquet, and you're going to hear what? As the Story Grows from my point of view.
Close enough.
What would you say
you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man, being realistic.
As the story grows.
Welcome back to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name is Trav. Guys, girls, my loyal, scattered few of an audience, this one is a biggie for me. Tourniquet was one of my first bands that influenced me as big as they did. They're up there with Believer, who I talked to Kevin last week. Thanks, Kev, for coming on and talking. Got some other surprises coming for you down the pike along these lines, but I got to talk to Eric Mendez from Tourniquet, the guy who played leads on Psychosurgery and Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance. Huge influence on me. This is rad that I got to talk to him. He's a talker, and he gave me two episodes worth of stuff. And guys, honestly, this conversation was so all over the place. He was leading the charge. I was following him. I had such a blast talking to him. It is all over the place. It's manic. It's crazy. It's disjointed. It's really fun to listen to. Good luck. But this was great. Such an honor to talk to him. I'm so stoked that he's alive and well. He uncovers some stuff in here, too. I mean, I kind of didn't know there was this much of a rift going on among some of the Tourniquet camp. I think it's some interesting stuff, and I want y'all to enjoy it. Take it for what it is. It's a frustrated guy who misses his friends. He's not out to talk trash. He's not out to hurt anybody, but he's got some stuff to say. He's got some stuff on his mind. Coming out of this, you listen to a little bit of Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance, one of my favorite songs from this Tourniquet era, and then we're going to get started with Eric. Make sure you listen to both of these. Next week is going to have some, next week is going to have a special segment where Eric and I spend a lot of time. We step through each track of both of these albums, and he shares a quick thought or two about each of them. So if you're a Psychosurgery Pathogenic fan, this bud's for you. All right, so here we are. We're finally doing this. Eric Mendez, oh my goodness, I have been chasing you down forever. You are just about a pain in the ass to get on a podcast, but I got you, and it's happening now.
I apologize.
Don't apologize. No, I'm just, hey, I love it.
I got the Mac just for you.
Yeah.
What I had was a 2006 Mac. That's why it wasn't going on.
My goodness, it's like running on like a gerbil wheel or something, right?
Exactly. Sold it.
All right, man. So you got a guitar there. So play a quick solo. Let's get this out of the way. Right. Let me hear your chops.
I feel like I'm recording for some reason. It's got like that weird latency.
Yeah. Well, you are recording. Nice. So good to hear you play guitar again.
Yeah.
All right, man. So let's get down to it.
Okay.
How old are you?
Damn, dude. Did you have to ask that one?
Right away. Right out of the gate.
George.
Let's get out of the way, old man.
51. I think George Ochoa is older than me, though.
I didn't ask you how
old George Ochoa. Did you know we used to be Facebook friends, George Ochoa? Yeah. One day he just disappeared. He's no longer my friend.
He's not on Facebook, or he's no longer your friend?
On Facebook.
Right, but I mean he's
still like a good friend. He used to be my assistant pastor, or deacon, whatever you call it.
Wow.
Roger was my pastor.
It's not Roger good. Martinez.
He's a cool dude. I love Roger.
What's the story with him? I would love to talk to him. I'd love to hear.
I don't know what happened. But I mean, he was a good pastor.
Yeah.
I drove an hour to go see him.
Wow.
You know, and if not for Roger, I wouldn't be in Tourniquet.
Really?
Neither would Victor.
Roger Martinez is responsible for getting you and Victor into Tourniquet.
Yeah. We went to both the sanctuary. This thing is like bugging the crap out of me.
Put it down.
I'm going to cut it in a second.
Okay.
Hold on. Victor used to play bass in the worship band. Yeah. I used to look at like, what the hell's that freaking hairy, big Mexican dude? Looking at Victor. And go, man, I wouldn't want to be in a band with that dude. He's ugly.
Talking about.
I'm not saying he's ugly. He's not an ugly guy at all. I just had bad taste at the time. But so they ended up asking, you know. And then Roger asked Victor. I go, oh, no, not him. I don't want to be in a band with Victor. He's too big. He looks like a biker. I still had like this glam thing going on.
Okay.
But yeah, Victor. Real thing.
Victor's not glam, not at all.
No hell.
No. Victor's so beautiful. Anyways,
one of my best friends is Victor in the whole freaking world.
Yeah.
He's like my brother.
All thanks to Roger Martinez.
Yeah. No, I think Roger's cool. You know, just because somebody falls, whatever, doesn't mean that you write them off.
No, of course not. Not enough. You know,
people talk about Gary all the time, you know? In fact, people say Victor's fallen off. Far from the truth.
Really?
He goes to a Orthodox church, one of the most beautiful churches in the world. You know, he's probably the most Christ-like person I know that was in the band.
Really?
And Guy. You know?
Wasn't Guy a pastor for a while? A youth pastor or something?
I don't know. I don't know. I think Gary was.
Okay. All right.
But Gary's one of the coolest guys, you know?
Yeah. Just decided the Christian thing wasn't for him anymore, right?
Yeah, he's not a non-believer. He's agnostic.
Okay.
He's still searching.
Gotcha.
You know, he wrote a book. He's being honest.
Yeah.
You know, but I talked to him yesterday, and he's moving to close by where you are.
What? He's moving close to me?
Well, Massachusetts.
That's not that close to me, dude.
New Hampshire?
I mean, it's closer to me than you are, but it's still like 4 or 5 hours away.
What? That's not far. On a plane or in a car?
In a car.
That's not, dude. I would visit him and do an interview with him.
All right, I will. Set it up. I'll make it happen.
Because there's winners over there. You got him trapped.
Yeah, that's true. He's not going anywhere once it snows up there. So you got into Tourniquet because Roger Martinez recommended you guys. I remember the first Tourniquet album had, like, the core members were Gary, Guy, and Ted, of course. And then there were studio musicians.
The pictures and, on that album's rough.
I know.
Kind of glam.
Yeah, you said you were into a glam thing.
But no, they were really glam.
Doesn't get more than that. But then after that, I guess they were looking for a solid lineup.
Yeah.
That's when you and Victor came along. You two were just laying around Sanctuary with no bands?
I got to talk about this. I almost was in Recon. You ever heard of that band?
Yes. Please tell me the story.
With Mighty Mouse on vocals? That's Vet. Vet's really cool. But doesn't he sound like Mighty Mouse?
I can't say yes because Recon. I might try to talk to Recon one day, and he's going to be like, "You're the dick that said I sound like Mighty Mouse," and I'll say, "No, I wasn't."
That's George's band. So I love George, by the way. But for some reason, I'm not his friend on Facebook, and I'm kind of bummed out.
Dude, get it fixed.
I like the jostling him sometimes, but he's.
George is
really cool.
Text him. You said you were just talking to him recently, didn't you?
No, I haven't talked to him in a while.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at the stuff I post on Facebook, a bunch of crap.
Mm.
You know? You never know when I'm serious.
I never know when you're serious. I'm not a big Facebook fan, but I do chase down some people when I want to talk to them on the podcast. And if I didn't know anything about you except your Facebook threads, I'd think you're kind of a crazy person.
Well, sort of.
Yeah. Well, maybe you are a little bit. That's okay. I'm not here to judge.
You're all nuts, dude.
Yeah.
For anybody to pick up a guitar and play it, especially as far as we have taken it, you got to be a little nuts.
Yeah.
The better you get, the nutser you are. Who's the best musician in Tourniquet?
Who's the best musician in Tourniquet?
That's the most nuts one. I won't answer that question.
Oh, we're going to get to it. Don't get too far ahead.
Oh, no.
Don't say, oh, no. How the hell am I going to talk to you about Tourniquet and not bring up Ted Kirkpatrick?
Oh, who said that? I didn't mean Ted.
Oh, who did you mean?
Oh, we won't talk about that.
Yes, we will.
He's eccentric.
Are you going to strum that guitar the whole time? I just want to know ahead of time.
I'll just fiddle with it. You want me to put it down?
Here and there is okay. Not the whole time.
Okay.
It's going to get noisy. Stick your fingers up your nose or something. Whatever you could do that's quiet.
Ukulele?
So tell me what it was like joining. I remember I have the video biopsy VHS tape, and there was a big joke about you and Victor just kind of laying around on a boardwalk with nothing to do, and they walked up and asked you to be in the band, and obviously that's not how you got in. But when you first joined the band, how much writing did you have to do with Psychosurgery?
Psychosurgery came and. I think half of the material was on there already. The weird thing about a Tourniquet, you know, my main thing was I was a lead guitar player. That was what my job was. And so I wrote whatever lead I could write. I wasn't really into writing the songs. Ted was the main writer, then Gary. And then Guy and Gary would write a song, and that's how it went. You know, but... You know, I mainly focused on playing the leads because we needed it. We needed something like that. I mean, most of the bands you hear, you know, there were some bands out there with a good lead guitar player, but really bad songs, you know. And then Larry from Vengeance, that guy was freaking badass.
Larry Farkas, he is badass.
Yeah, and they were good. That whole band was good to me. You get other bands that awesome rhythms, but then the leads are just like messed up. Like, what the heck is that?
Right.
You know, there's no feel to the leads. There's just like a little kid playing lead guitar, you know, trying to be all pot, you know, but it's really bad. I can't listen to it, you know, but then you get like other bands that have this killer lead guitar player and they sound like Rat or something or AC/DC.
Right.
So, I think Tourniquet had all of that.
I do too.
We had good leads. We had two good guitar players, a really good drummer, a really good bass player. The vocals were awesome.
Awesome.
Nothing else, and the songs were original. That's another thing, originality.
I've never heard anything else like it, honestly. I think Tourniquet was the Tourniquet was kind of where everything came together for me with religious standpoint, technicality, metal, speed, yet fast forward to the next album on Pathogenic, you would have a song like Phantom Limb, which was like interesting and almost kind of tongue in cheek, kind of funny. Almost like you guys kind of had this crazy blend of a little bit of everything, literally everything. I mean, I grew up, I'm an East Coaster. My like favorite first band was Believer because
that's another band I forgot.
Yeah, I got into them.
Freaking as original as possible. I mean, they were good,
but they were Vengeance, Believer, Tourniquet, all that, Deliverance, all that stuff came at the same time. But Believer,
Sacrifice,
yeah. Believer were my boys because they were from, I mean, they're from my area. They're from within like a couple hours of me. So I felt like they were like the hometown team, you know, but Tourniquet was this original, what the heck is going on kind of. And like Tourniquet was like my go-to band. I mean, the other guys too, Believer and Deliverance and everything, but I would play Deliverance for people and they would say, oh, it's just a Metallica ripoff. And sure. I had Jimmy on the show, and he was like, well, we were Metallica.
Really. Yeah. Well, no, Jimmy's. This is a story about Victor. Victor and Jimmy went down to Santa Monica. They were looking for an amp. And Victor is one of the most pickiest musicians I know. He'll tell you if somebody sucks or not. I mean, if you play a song that is bad, he starts dancing like it's a happy song, you know, like, hi. And forget it. The song's done. You won't even try writing it. But him and Jimmy went into a place to check out an amp. And Jimmy cranks up this amp and starts playing something from Master of Puppets.
Okay.
I think it was Master of Puppets.
Okay.
And Victor just got floored. I mean, how good Jimmy is.
Yeah, he's really good.
Freaking the best rhythm guitar player.
Yeah.
In all Christian music.
He crushes. He's fast, really fast. But I was going to say that you have the first Living Sacrifice album. Mm-hmm. Everyone went, that's a Slayer ripoff. And you have the first Deliverance album. Everyone said Metallica ripoff. And you know what I mean? And then you play Tourniquet and people are like, the hell was that? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was like really original. You guys were like the Primus of metal. You guys had such weird... Weird, great, especially when Victor joined, because then there was like slap bass and Spanish and like all kinds of like different influences and everything.
Yeah, you didn't know what's going on next, and then we had a rap song.
And then you had a rap song, which
I'm real proud of that one.
I'm still holding that as the first time I've ever heard that done. The first time it really? Was really dude, the first well, time
that's it, rapist you can get.
The first time that I heard it popularized was Anthrax and Public Enemy. But
was about the same time, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I remember you guys being the first time I ever heard. Give me the right, get back, don't let me rip this up. No job, no shot, as I drop low, slip up. Boom, you run, so pump your fist. And come and get a bump with it.
I think Faith No More with their little pseudo rap.
Yeah, maybe.
Mike Patton doing the, you know, real thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a metal band and a rap band getting into the studio together and doing it.
I wish I could get the demo for that.
Oh, that would be...
Because, you know, what's the name of P.I.D. who did that one?
P.I.D., yep.
They did the you know, those guys were in the studio. They just happened to be there when we recorded that part.
Really?
And then they go into the rap beat. But, man, I wish I would pay. I don't have the money, but I'd pay $200 to get that out. Ted rapping.
That would be killer.
Have you ever, like, Ted, Kermit the Frog, dude? Okay, Kermit the Frog. It's sort of like what we were joking around. Ted sounds like, hey, dude, what's up? That's right. How Ted sounds like, rapping on Spineless. that's going to be awesome. But he did.
I would pay.
With those words. He wrote that.
Ted wrote the rap part?
Sort of. He wrote that, and this guy's changed it. He goes, we can't rap this stuff.
There's a crazy story. I didn't know that.
But then I like that song, but then the beginning's all weird, like little jumpy vocals.
Yeah.
I didn't like that part.
Yeah.
But then when he goes to Gary's, when he goes to Gary's solo,
yeah.
I was so jealous of that solo.
Yeah. It's surprising that they brought you on as a lead guitarist, because I always felt like I think Gary can kind of hold his own, but I guess. Back then, it was all about trading off solos and.
Yeah, Gary was more of the thrash solo guy, a lot of at that time, he was more like just Kirk Hammett type, a lot of wah solo, and I was more like the Paul Gilbert, Testament type cleaner solos.
Okay.
So we needed that, but both of that, but now.
Right.
They have one guitar player. Do they still have one guitar player?
They don't even have a vocalist right now.
What?
Yeah, Luke Easter quit.
Oh my gosh, I have a chance to go back.
Do it. Aaron Guerrera is the guy. He's been there since you guys left. Since Gary left.
Yeah, him. No, Aaron's a nice guy.
He's supposed to be a great
super quiet.
He tried out to be the vocalist. And they went another direction, and then he took over for guitar.
Yeah.
That's how the story goes. All right, man. Don't get too far ahead of me now.
Okay.
So when you joined Tourniquet, Psychosurgery was pretty much about halfway there, and they just needed you to stack solos in where the holes were.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time to record and hit the road.
Sure.
So how was that? Like, now you're climbing in a van with these guys for the first time.
How'd it go? Was here.
You wish
Luke was here. Because, we did some tours with Guy, but then Guy was gone after that.
Okay.
So, kind of miss Guy a lot.
I want to talk to all of you. I want to talk to all five of you guys.
Okay, we'll talk about that, what you just brought up, though. Yeah, we went for the whole Midwest tour. It was 2 months plus in a van. With how many guys? Drew Fisher, the road manager, Christian Peak, I think Ken, the ultimate roadie, who roaded for every single freaking band.
Okay.
Victor, Luke, Gary, me, Ted. Am I missing somebody else?
You're saying Luke.
Luke was with us, yeah.
Luke Easter was with you?
Yeah, for the first tour.
For Psycho?
We did a short tour from maybe just Southern California to Northern California. That was it with Guy. It was all Luke after that.
On the Psycho tour.
Oh, wait. No, we did Cornerstone with Guy one time. But that was a fly-in thing.
Okay.
That wasn't really a tour, but the big tour was with Luke.
I'll ask again. With Psychosurgery.
Dang it. I'm 51 years old, man.
What's wrong with you?
I'm freaking old, dude.
But no. I'm lost.
Yeah. You're right. We didn't really do a tour.
It was, but Guy was with Psycho all the way through Pathogenic. Luke didn't join until Vanishing Lessons.
You're right. I'm retarded.
Oh, yeah, that might be true.
That was a very short. From Psycho to Pathogenic was super short.
Okay.
We did some shows flying in. We did Escondido, our first show here in San Diego County.
Uh-huh.
That was a very short period. Then all of a sudden, we had to work on Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
I think Frontline Records was just trying to get things keep on moving because it was, I don't know, man.
You had to work on Pathogenic, you mean, after the Psycho tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Money rolling, man. Get my Porsche.
So the so Psycho was kind of a fast process, and then you got into Pathogenic. You got into Pathogenic, and that was, you were there from the inception, the writing process. That's the one album you were there.
I was in both process. Like I said, the main writers were Ted, still, and Gary second, and Guy and Gary, but Pathogenic, Victor Ackery wrote some stuff, you know. But that's one thing I never liked about the whole thing, you know, is because, you know, I mean, I wrote some songs just recently with 2050, Gary, me, and Victor, and it sounds decent, you know, it sounds kind of Tourniquet-ish sounding, because I ripped off Tourniquet, but so I'm always going to sound like that. That's my old band, so
yeah.
But it was never, you know, encouraged that other people write.
Got it.
So you could see how come it's songs are written by Ted Kirkpatrick, it's his songs, and then you see Gary Lanier writing his own songs, Victor writing his own songs. It was never like the Beatles, you know.
Got it. But that's okay.
That's okay. But you always have Gary Lanier and Ritter, and those are the ones that just go like what song is that? Broken Chromosomes.
Oh,
the most popular song ever.
What a great song.
That's like God's song here, Guy. It's all Guy. The one that's gone, you know. I mean, if you listen to that song from you know, hearing Guy, I mean, all the emotion that he puts in there, that's an amazing song, man.
And it's an amazing song.
I mean, even when Luke sang that song live, it was amazing. You know, because he's Guy's emotions coming out through Luke, you know?
Sure.
But when you hear that middle part, I mean, who would think of writing a song about that stuff anyways? Somebody who's got Down syndrome, a kid who's got Down syndrome, you know?
Right. I know. That's what I mean about Tourniquet, where you wrote a song like Phantom Limb, where you're comparing your relationship with Christ for having a leg removed. And I was like, how the hell am I supposed to explain this to people? You just gotta hear it, you know?
Ted.
That was Ted?
That's Christ giving Ted his brain to write that stuff. Ted is an amazing, you know, I just sometimes wish I could still talk to Ted nowadays, but sadly I can't even talk to him. But you know, I love the guy. Everybody loves Ted.
Let's stop dancing around that and get into it then. Why sure. Can't you talk to Ted?
He's avoiding. He won't pick up the phone. I tried calling him and calling him. I don't think I called him. He called me once. And it was the phone number was blocked. You know, it was private. I answered was Ted. I talked to him a couple of times.
Like when? Recently or like a long time ago?
Well, shoot, about 7 years ago.
Okay.
And then I tried to email him, you know, through the Tourniquet thing, and just ignored me the whole time. So
I wonder why. Do you have any ideas as to why?
No. I don't know why. I was even supposed to play on not the last one, but. Maybe two albums ago, just play on that one. But I just got kind of tired of this whole, you know, avoiding situation. And I didn't, you know, Gary and I were talking at the time. We did a 2050 thing. We wrote two songs.
Yeah.
With Victor, me, Gary, my friend Al Velasquez. But we did the drums on that. He did the drums on that. But, you know, Ted wanted me to play again, you know. Not as a Tourniquet member, but just as a guest spot, you know. And I was going to do it, you know, but I don't know, man. You know, I just not being able to pick up the phone and call your old band members, kind of, it's just bad, you know.
Shitty.
It is very shitty, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're supposed to be Christ-like, you know.
Right.
What's so Christ-like about, you know, not being able to talk to you?
I don't know.
We shared farts. I smelled his farts so many times, you know. He smelled my farts, you know. And then he won't talk to me. What the hell is that all about?
Sure. I don't know. I don't know what it's about. I think a lot of us are probably wondering the same thing. And I'm excited. I'm excited that I think a lot of people are probably wondering, like, why? What's the big deal? And then I actually get a member of Tourniquet on the phone and I go, okay, dude, why? And you're like, I don't know.
They won't say anything, right?
I don't know.
You know? I'll be honest. I don't freaking know why, but it's Ted. Ted doesn't want to talk. We wanted to get a reunion back, a psychosurgery reunion, and Pathogenic play the whole freaking two albums, whatever songs, you know, from start to finish. The only person that wanted to agree was Ted. And Ted wanted, and we said, hey, okay, if you don't want to do it, we're going to go ahead and do it. And he threatened to, you know, to sue, basically.
You were going to get, okay, timeouts. Whoa. You were going to get Guy, Victor, yourself, everybody. And Lanier.
They already agreed. Guy agreed. Victor agreed. I agreed. Gary was in.
With another drummer. You were going to play Psycho and Pathogenic, and Ted threatened to sue you.
We wanted Ted to play the drums. Uh-huh. It wouldn't be Tourniquet without Ted.
Agreed.
He's a big part of Tourniquet. He is Tourniquet.
He is Tourniquet. Like, he legally owns Tourniquet. That's what he does.
Really? He's really... When you say think of Tourniquet, who's the best? Ted. Ted is always going to be number one.
Sure.
He wrote, he played guitar. Ted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Gary and Guy came up with the name Tourniquet. It was Tourniquet before Ted, so let's just get that one straight. But yeah, doesn't matter. He didn't want to do it. You know, I don't know why. I just don't get it. You know, we can put the past behind us and enjoy life again.
I was going to say, I heard recently about a band that is currently active, and they said, old members approached them and said, let's get back together and do the reunion thing. And they said, well, no, we don't want to do that because we have current members now. It would mean hanging them on a hook, and we don't want to do that. Yeah. I could understand that angle of it, except that recently Ted, and I don't want to turn this into a Ted thing, but I mean, let's have the conversation. Ted's been doing Ted Kirkpatrick of Tourniquet albums, mm-hmm. where it's like he was doing Ted Kirkpatrick things, and then he was doing Ark of Suffering things, and then he did Ted Kirkpatrick of Tourniquet by himself, where it was like albums came out.
Yeah, I heard that
albums, plural, worth of material came out without Luke or Aaron, and so I feel like
a solo album, right?
Yeah, so then I would feel...
I heard the one where there's like classical music, it's playing drums behind it.
I guess, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whatever. But I don't understand why getting back together and doing a quick run with the Psycho crew wouldn't have been bonkers huge. Man, I would have flown out to watch that.
I would too.
But
I would have to.
He's not interested. He doesn't want to do it.
You never know. Nobody can stop God, you know. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen.
Ted can. Ted can stop him.
Yeah, but we can find another drummer. Who knows? I may run into... Who's one of the best lawyers?
I know lawyers, and I'm a drummer. I will come do it.
There we go.
There.
I'm a lawyer. I'll go to school for law. Fucking get that thing going again.
You're going to go to school for law?
Hey, I could freaking fix a Mac. I can be a lawyer.
All right. So here's a question. On the Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance tour... There was some sort of a Milwaukee metal fest.
Yes.
Glenn Benton refused to play because of you guys.
What the heck? This Glenn Benton thing was crazy. This started Bob Larson. You know Bob Larson?
I know the name. Who's that?
He had a syndicated radio show like around noontime, California time, or your time would be 3 o'clock.
Oh, no.
Or 3 o'clock later, totally like the Morton Downey of Christian.
Oh.
Super nice guy, by the way.
But like outspoken a little.
Outspoken and just kind of over the top shows. He would have possessed people, you know, like, oh.
Really?
But anyways, we played in Denver, Colorado. At the what the hell's the name of that big place? The Orpheum or something in Denver. It's a huge place. We freaking packed it.
Okay.
Went outside. There's a freaking line, dude. It's a testament was playing. Tourniquet was it. But how was I talking about?
You were talking about Bob Larson.
I need another Xanax. Anyways, he pinned Ted, and Ted fighting on the show, you know, and Glenn Benn is like, freaking Satanist, I'm a fucking Satanist, I want to kill you, fucking Ted. And then Bob Larson goes, you gotta find Bob Larson and somehow put it, you know, show people who he is. And then next thing you know, he goes, yeah, Victor's a big guy, Glenn, he'll kick your ass, you know. And then next thing you know, Glenn's getting all pissed off. And so it's a big thing with Glenn Benton. I don't know if he's for real or not, but, you know, I've heard stories that he's seen Glenn was on stage playing, and Bruce Franklin of Trouble was backstage watching. He just rushed him, just bum rushed the guy, you know?
Really?
He's a total dickhead.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So that's how that all started. So I don't know about the Milwaukee Metal Fest. He didn't want to play because that's kind of stupid of him not wanting to play.
He wouldn't play because of you guys being a Christian band. That's what it said. I wasn't around. I don't know.
We played Milwaukee Metal Fest, and it was Testament, War. Wait, nice. No, not Gore. It was Testament, Cannibal Corpse, and a lot of other bands. But while we were playing, guess who was in the mosh pit? Body Count.
Really?
I mean, that, you know, that was the coolest thing. It was my last show, by the way. Tourniquet.
That was your last show?
Huh? Okay. Yep. I had already quit Tourniquet at that time. That was, you know, but I flew with them just so we can do that. And,
right.
You know, I was in freaking tears playing Art of Suffering that time.
Yeah,
you know, it sounded so good too. They had the sound dialed in. I saw a Marshall, and I was like, "Oh no!" And I can't plug into a Marshall. Plugged it in, and man, it sounded like better than my Mesa Boogie. It was awesome. But we sounded like the record that day.
So let me ask you then: if you're literally in tears playing Ark of Suffering, and you quit, and Milwaukee Metal Fest is your last show, and here, this many years later, you're still interested in getting the boys back together and playing Psycho and Pathogenic, why did you leave Tourniquet?
There's a lot of... I got separated from my wife at the time.
Okay.
It was over. Met somebody else. You know, 26 years old, mm-hmm. You're thinking, okay, it's a freaking sin. You know, we had so many freaking rules. We couldn't drink. We can do what you're just doing right now.
What's that? Drinking a Saucony Creek Reserve Imperial Coffee Stout? That wouldn't have been allowed?
You should come to San Diego.
Mm. This stuff is so good.
Mm. But yeah, we were full of, couldn't smoke a cigarette. But hey, you know, so it was kind of like forced.
Wait. According to who? According to the Christian scene at that time or according to Ted?
Ted, we couldn't say piss. We couldn't say shit. You know, little iffy words.
Hmm.
You know, there was a lot of rules on us. And not just Ted, but other people. Because he was afraid that if somehow somebody saw us doing some, you know, kind of gray area at the time, It would be a gossip thing. Next thing you know, Tourniquet's doing this. You know, they're drinking a beer. You know,
so bad.
No, it's legalism.
So is Ted? It is legalism. It's a perfect word for it. Is Ted? What, like, was Ted cool? But he just was like afraid of starting the rumor mill stuff. Or is Ted like that straight that it was like
everything was controlled when it came to Tourniquet.
So like if you stubbed your toe in a hotel room, just you guys, and you said, oh shit, he would come down on you there too?
Oh yeah.
Piss. Oh, okay.
You can't say piss.
I can say piss. My podcast doesn't have any rules.
I
fuck them. See?
Just Ted didn't know. I'm a construction worker, dude. You know, he's a pharmaceutical sales. He's talking to doctors. Of course you can't say piss, shit, fuck, or whatever.
Right.
I'm a construction worker. If I drop something on my leg, I'm gonna yell, "Fuck, dude! It hurts."
I hear you.
It's only a freaking word.
They're just words, exactly.
You know, but yes,
Like, you know, I get it. If you're sitting in church and you spill a sip of coffee on your nice pants, you probably don't want to stand up and drop an F-bomb. I understand that.
Yeah, you go, right.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then reach for the.
Yes. You know, and a little bit of beer here, you couldn't do that.
Really?
In public. But yes. Ted smoked cigars and inside the hotel room, drank some beer, you know. But if Victor was in Victor, if you like beer, Victor makes the best beer I've ever had.
I love beer.
My brother bakes beer. His beer, I can't stand my brother's beer. Victor makes the best beer.
I want some of Victor's beer. How can I make that happen?
Come over here. You can stay with us, dude. Stay San Diego.
I would love that.
Probably San Diego, easy. You know San Diego is beer capital of the United States, right?
Milwaukee is the beer capital of the
United States. Yeah, that's like, you know, Laverne and Shirley type beer. but if you want homebrew stuff, you know, San Diego's the place to go.
I don't know, brother. I'm gonna put Philly. I'm gonna put the greater Philadelphia area down for the craft beer stuff.
I don't know.
I think we kind of rule the roost over here on the East Coast.
How many homebrew places you guys have there?
100,000.
Not a whole homebrew, but like places to go to. Lots.
You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a brewery around here.
Oh, it's like here then.
Yeah.
Oops.
Beautiful.
But if you. I don't know. Maybe you should Google it to see who's really the place. I don't drink beer.
Maybe we should get Victor on the show and we could talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to get every single tourniquet guy on this show and eventually Ted will be forced to come out of hiding and talk to me.
That's going to be, yeah, Eric did this, Eric did
that. Because eventually he's going to be like, dude, I had to defend myself.
No, Ted doesn't have to do that. But if he wants to, you can. You know, he's got a lot of dirt on me. You know,
I'm not about dirt.
I know.
There's interesting things like for instance, when you and I started talking about you coming on the podcast.
Dude, you sound like you're from Philly when you just said that talking.
Yeah, it's
that's awesome.
When you and I started talking about you being on the podcast, it was right around when I got Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance on vinyl from that Kickstarter. And your response, I'll never forget this. Your response was, oh, he pressed Pathogenic on vinyl? You had no idea that one of the most quintessential Christian metal records ever made that you are on was even pressed to vinyl. You didn't even know. I had to send you pictures. And you were like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, no, I don't know nothing.
Like, I get it that you don't have the rights and he doesn't have to check with you and everything. But, I mean, there's so lack of communication that you didn't even know you were on a record, dude.
Yeah.
I have it over there on my wall. It's amazing.
I poured my heart and soul into that record, and so Psycho Surgery. So it's the live album. You know, I've been playing since I was 12, 13.
Yeah.
I played, you know, you believe in God? Okay, fine. Maybe God prepped me since I was 12, 13 for this occasion until I was 26 to play. And then after that, you know, I was done. Maybe God took me out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe God, I don't know what God's plans are for me, but I've always wanted to be a musician, you know?
Sure.
I'm not never going to stop playing my guitar. But yeah, it hurts, man. You know, that's my playing on there. So that's my best playing. You know, I totally woodshedded all my leads. I didn't care about songwriting because it wasn't my job to songwrite. Ted was an awesome songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
He can't play leads worth a crap, but you know, there's a part in Phantom Limb where he plays the lead. It's like, why are you playing lead guitar? You know, like after I play my little, I don't know who did the solo, but either me first and then Ted answers it. It's like, ugh, dude, why?
So,
but anyways.
Well, you're asking me why. Let me ask you why. You think that this is an ego thing?
A little bit, yes, of course.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's of course an ego thing. Ted's got one of the biggest egos in tourniquet history, you know?
Hmm.
You know, I'm sorry, but that's how I feel, and that's how a lot of the guys feel.
Don't be sorry. Yeah. Jimmy Brown told me, and my cousin was co-hosting with me at the time. He told us that Ted used to call him and grade Deliverance albums.
What?
I will give, go listen to the episode, bro. He said, He said Ted would call him out of the blue and be like, I will, I'll give this album a B for recording quality, and I'll give it an A for this, but I'll give it a C for that and everything. And eventually Jimmy was like, dude, shove it up your ass. I don't want to hear it anymore. And they haven't talked since, or something along that lines, where I was who does that? Like who?
I don't know. You know, I don't think Ted would ever even watch this show. He'd be pretty scared that I'm on the show, but you know, I don't know, dude. I don't know what to do. Maybe that's the reason why Tourniquet's never going to play again. But, you know, can you imagine if he says that to Jimmy, what's said on private about other bands?
No, I can't. I mean, I guess I can.
It could be pretty bad, you know. But those are all our brothers, you know. I mean, we were friends with Scattered Few, Victor and I. We would hang out with Crucified. We would hang out with everybody.
Dude, this show is named after a Scattered Few song. That's how important they were to me. As the story grows.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's how important they were to me.
Yeah, they were freaking good band, dude.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to be friends with all these people, with the guys from Crucified, you know, from Believer. Some of them were snobs as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was like, hey, you know, Anthrax and Metallica, they're friends. Why can't we be friends, you know?
Sure, right, yeah, geez.
You know, we're like this little niche. We're like little goldfish singing the seas of sharks and whales. We're nobody. We're this little, we live in a little pond, and Metallica lives in the Pacific Ocean, you know, with Slayer and tricking Venom. And, you know, come on, guys, get it, put it in perspective, you know. Right. Sure, Marty Friedman's going to play for Tourniquet, but he gets paid. I'm sure Marty Friedman got paid more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could get Marty Friedman to play on my album if I paid him enough.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Marty, hey, I'll give you this Paul Reed Smith. Would you play one note? Yes!
Cost you $1,500.
Here, let me have that now. So, go home.
Tell me about the early Christian scene. I know a lot of people talk about the Christian scene, and they kind of default to the mid-90s with the Tooth and Nail stuff, but I'm talking like Vengeance, Crucified, Scattered Few, Deliverance. You guys were all you West Coast Christian bands were like kind of pioneering.
Yeah.
What was that all about back then? Like if I went to see a show, it sounds like there was weird rules and there's stipulations on like, oh my God, don't smoke a cigarette.
Do you remember the times when a Frontline record? Well, let's start with Stryper.
Okay.
Stryper pretty much launched this whole thing with their Yellow and Black Attack. Well, there was a first one before that, wasn't it?
Yellow and Black Attack? Probably Yellow Black Attack with six songs, maybe a demo or something.
Okay, it was Yellow and Black Attack. They were Rocket Ships, right? It's kind of almost prophetic. But they launched this whole Christian music thing. Everybody wanted to be like Stryper.
Sure.
Everybody had colors.
I remember Baron Cross was like white and blue. White.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, the Bible says. You know, they're singing, you know. I seen Baron Cross play on a stage made out of pallets by a music store I used to go to when I was a little kid. And they opened for this band called Royal Priesthood, which I became part of that band later. And the guitar player for that I replaced was named Roy Z. He now writes for Bruce Dickinson and Rob Halford.
Wow. Super
awesome guitar player. You know, I filled his shoes. It was hard to fill, but that guy's a great songwriter.
Wow.
So yeah, Stryper had everything. Oh, I heard a rumor. Robert Sweet was smoking a freaking cigarette. A rumor I heard.
Huh.
And everybody, you know, somebody else said this. I go, oh my God, they're smoking. I was smoking too. But, you know, it's a no-no, you know, and that's how everything was, you know. You know, I don't know how this happened in every Frontline, you know, like Stop the Bleeding, the first Vengeance album's Deliverance.
Right.
Bob Beeman was in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Bob Beeman? Hi, my name's Bob, you know.
Hi, Bob Beeman. Bob cool. Beeman, pastor.
That's a reason, but.
Pastor of Sanctuary, what do you always say?
Yeah. So, I mean, all of a sudden you got Bob Beeman, the pastor, talking. You know, it's like, what the freaking weird. What this kind of cult, you know, happening is in the back of thrash bands. And then the people would kind of like put this on us, you know. And then next thing you know, we can't make a mistake because Dead Striper had that mistake of smoking. Now we don't want it, we don't want to look bad.
God.
That's where it was. And it was just too tough. It was too hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're growing up. You're how old was I? 26. You expected to be like walk on water or something? I mean, I'm just in a band. You know, Jimmy Swaggart's like picking up prostitutes.
Right. Right.
He doesn't like Iron Maiden.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, here we are, you know, like in a different atmosphere. Swaggart would never reach this people.
Right.
You know, but it's a crazy party. I don't know, dude. Legalism. It's nothing but gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
And it was all like that. And I don't know, maybe everybody went the deep end, including Roger.
Right.
You know, who else? I went the deep end a little bit. You know, everybody but goes deep end. Look at Victor was in Germany. What's Germany? What do you think besides Volkswagens? Beer.
Germany? Beer? Nazis?
Hitler?
Yeah.
Beer?
Beer?
Right. They drink beer. They love beer in Germany. Victor was invited.
Blast? Sorry.
Yeah. Victor was invited to drink beer. And Ted had a conniption. Didn't want him to go. The fans wanted Victor to hang out with them. Bring some beer. You know, I don't know why I think beer Germany, but anyways, he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
That's when Victor quit. So, that's legalism. Why can't Victor drink beer? He's old. Been old now, but old enough back then. And now, look what happens. He makes beer. See what you do? That's right. What happens.
Yes, exactly.
You stop people from drinking Coke, they freaking drink it.
You turn them into powder kegs.
That's what my mom did to me. Coke only on the weekend. Now I drink it every day.
Wow.
You know, you stop people from, it's just like drugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a libertarian. You know, somebody taught me to become a libertarian. Said, what's the difference between libertarian and all these other political people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Jesus gives us the freedom. You know, why can't we have freedom to do what we want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to an extent, you know.
Well, yeah, obviously, you can't hurt people and stuff.
Yeah, you can't be like getting naked on stage. I want to, but
you can. But.
but you know, I mean, yeah, it's so. I mean, a lot of guys quit because they thought they were sinning. You know,
a lot of guys walked away from their faith over this kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Like literally said, there's so much legalism. This is such a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't even want anything to do with it anymore. And they threw the baby out with the bathwater, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I could dig it. I can understand that it was just like, you know what? this was my life, and now it has ruined my life, and now I don't even want anything to do with it anymore, because I bet you there's probably peace and solace of just getting away from it.
Anyway. Yeah, a lot of people.
That's super sad that
so but I, you know, I never bought into it. I maybe when I was in corn or something, for example, I'd watch myself. If I needed a smoke, it got really bad, you know,
right,
where I was having a freaking nicotine fit. I'd call Victor, come on, come hang out with me. And me and Victor would be hanging out behind somewhere, hiding, or I'm just smoking a cigarette like a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to have that nicotine in me, or else I could go crazy. You know, but I never smoked in front of Ted. I never smoked in front of Gary at the time.
Right.
Or Guy or anybody but Victor.
It reminds me of, I'm a little bit younger than you, but I came up through pretty heavily through the straight edge scene. And all those straight edge guys now that, I mean, I was at shows watching. I'll never forget the night that I was at a show and I watched a kid go outside to have a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And a dude picked up a skateboard and hit the kid upside the head.
Truck,
truck side down. So it didn't hit him with the flat board part, hit him with the wheels. Right? Hit him upside the head because the dude was smoking a cigarette. And I was like, let's get out of here.
What was the deal with that straight jet scene? Who was one of the bands on that? Like Fugazi? There was a few bands that was all straight edge, and what the hell is straight edge? Or
I don't connect Fugazi with the violent side of things. I think Ian, the guy from Fugazi, is the one who coined the term straight edge
That's why it's ringing a bell. That
in his former band's songs, but it became a thing. It became like a hard, like militant. You know, it became ugly.
That's crazy.
And yeah, it is a shame. It is a shame. But that kind of reminds me of the Christian stuff. Not militant, hopefully not militant, but it kind of became a thing of like,
I think for the Christians,
like some Christian band would slip and say shit during an interview and it would hurt their album sales and their career would be over. And
Like, oh my God, he's not a Christian.
This is a grown man, you know, like,
yeah, and it's not just the Christian bands too that you can blame for that. It's also the people, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Cornerstone, you know, nobody cussed the whole time. What the hell?
Well,
you know if they wanted to.
My band was playing Cornerstone in the early 2000s. Believe me, there was plenty. There was all the debauchery that all the music festivals had by that time. But
really,
yeah. But I mean, hidden and compressed and hit taken out of you and everything. But it was all there. That's what I'm saying. You guys were in the pioneering. You guys were in the inception of the extreme Christian music stuff.
Yeah,
which must have been batshit crazy to have, like, we're trying to be as extreme as we possibly can, but there's rules. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, we can have green mohawks and stage dive off the top of a cabinet, but no cigarettes. That's crazy. And it's like, it's kind of like, well, do you want to reach the masses or not, dude? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I never really bought into it. I watched myself because I didn't want to get kicked out of the band or whatever. And I didn't want to hear it, you know.
Right.
You know, but, you know, maybe not all bands was like, Scattered Few definitely was not that band that did that. They were kind of like out of the ordinary,
mm-hmm.
you know. What is his name? I'm sorry.
Alan.
The singer.
At the time, Rommel.
Rommel, mm-hmm. Dude, you can smell weed.
Right. He was on our show. He talked so much. We did a double episode with him and he was like, he flat out admitted to being high and strung out on, I don't remember if he said heroin or cocaine. He was at Kinko's like Xeroxing flyers for shows at 3 o'clock in the morning, strung out. Mm-hmm. And people would walk up and want to talk to him. And he's like, he felt the Lord telling him, you should witness to those people. And he's like, I can't. I'm high.
Well, right, that's now the thing, you know. Wow. Okay. You're kind of like, okay, altered. I took some Xanax right now.
Yeah.
You know, because of my, I told you when we talked last, I'm going through anxiety of everything happening in my life, you know.
Okay.
So it's helping me, you know.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, okay, you know. I mean, I'll tell you a story, dude. I was in Hawaii. I dropped some acid. Right after I quit Tourniquet.
Okay.
I'm free now. Freaking put some acid.
I could do drugs.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was with Angel, my new girlfriend at the time. We were at, it was weird, the weirdest freaking thing. I was not in Tourniquet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped some acid, we had acid, and all of a sudden it's just peaking, right? I'm not ignorant. I've done all this crap since I was like 12.
Okay.
You know, I was 26. I was way adult. 27. Mm-hmm. Out of the blue, this guy comes up to me with a freaking Psychosurgery album. Wants me to sign it while I'm peaking.
And you're tripping.
I'm tripping. I'm going, freaking rules is back. And I'm like so nervous. It was pathogenic. And I was laughing because acid makes you laugh. You know, it makes you like crack up way, way worse than weed. You're okay. Just like the Joker, you know, but you're laughing and freaking everything is so funny. You know, it was at a Lollapalooza.
Oh, which one?
In Oahu with Fishbone, Primus, SDP, Violent Femmes.
93.
It was an awesome, yeah, right after I quit. And this guy comes up with this and I was shaking, dude. I was shaking. And I felt so bad.
Whatever.
That freaking, that right there, I felt bad. That's crazy. Ruined my whole trip. Damn kid.
Did it bring you down? Like, did you feel the drugs wear off from it because you were so nervous?
No.
Oh, wow.
It was just kept on going, but I had to, like, get the hell out of here. You know, I don't want to talk to him.
Okay.
Because so I thought he'd know that I'm, like, wigging on acid, you know?
It ruined your whole trip to Lollapalooza. It didn't ruin that trip.
No, it ruined a little bit of that trip at Lollapalooza, but I'm strong. I can take it out of my head.
I got
I'm on acid. Okay. I'm not going to OD on acid. There's some people go, oh, my God, I'm never, ever going to be the same again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, everybody, you want to be honest? Okay. There's a lot of guys out there that did drugs. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. If not, dude, either I'm the coolest Christian band guy out there, or I'm like the devil's right next to me constantly, you know?
No, you're just the guy open enough to admit it, I think.
And we're musicians, dude.
I think you're just the guy open enough to admit it.
Yeah, I admit I'm not perfect, and I blew it quite a bit, dude.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was taking drugs when I was 12. You know? I lived in the Philippines, dude. I would buy beer or whiskey and just go to the store, get whiskey, whatever I wanted.
You grew up in the Philippines?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I moved here when I was 16. Yeah. I grew up, that's where I started learning how to play guitar, listening to Deep Purple.
Okay.
And all this American bands. With the Filipino bands, I had really shitty guitars that my dad sent me.
Okay.
Applause, you remember the Applause guitars?
No.
They look like Ovations.
Okay.
With a round back, you know?
No, I don't.
They're plastic, weird round backs, like all these country singers play it.
Okay.
But it was a Squire of that guitar. No, Fender.
Okay.
And the strings that came with it were like the fattest ever. Even right. Stevie Ray Vaughan couldn't play this, but that's how I learned those guitars. It lasted me 3 years of string.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's crazy. But yeah, that's when I started.
Like cheap nylon strings that never break.
No.
Right.
They were freaking, I think they were like 12s to 60. Just like,
rah. Like, it was like bass strings.
They were. I didn't know any different.
Right.
You know, what I would do was we didn't have picks. You couldn't buy picks.
Okay.
You would have to get like a butter container, take the lid off it, and kind of trace it and make your own pick. That's how you played back there.
Really?
I don't know if they're still that way, but in 1978, yes. And you could buy the little strings, the fat strings on top. No, but you can't pick the. Can I get a 9-gauge, please? No.
Right.
And I get some guitar strings, and they pick it. You just like, okay, thank you. Right. And you don't go to Guitar Center. You go to the regular store down the street.
The regular store down the street in the Philippines has guitar strings?
And beer.
And
gin.
And whiskey.
Everything. They had everything.
Dude. So you're 9 years old in the grocery. So you're 12 years old in the grocery store buying guitar strings and whiskey, getting drunk and running solos.
Every night.
Love it. I mean, I don't love the 12-year-old drinking, but whatever, dude. You're not dead.
Hey, no. It's a different country.
Yeah, man.
We're Victorian. We didn't have the Victorian attitude.
Tell me about being a kid in the Philippines. I don't know anything about it. So let's just get this out. You're Filipino.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not even an American citizen.
Got it.
You're not. I consider myself American now.
You're not an American citizen?
Technically, I am not an American citizen. I am I'm a residential alien. I'm legal, so you can't deport me.
Got it.
Unless I kill one of you guys.
I'll try it. I'll try it, man. Once Trump gets in, you're out.
I love Trump, dude.
You do not love Donald Trump.
I do.
Shut up.
I'm a conservative, dude. Are you a Democrat?
You can't possibly be that conservative.
A libertarian conservative. I don't know who else is there.
You're going to vote for Donald Trump? Is that what you're telling me?
I can't vote.
Oh, you're not allowed to vote?
Well, I didn't vote for George Bush.
Allowed to vote, you'd vote for Donald Trump.
I would not. He would not be my. If I had to choose who, it would not be Hillary Trump or whoever the other guy is. Bernie. I stopped listening to politics since Obama won. I was done. I wanted to be that evil McCain to win.
Wow.
Would it have been like interesting, Palin? Like, wow, wow.
I did not see that coming.
But no. But then, no, Obama's cool. I like him. He's from Hawaii.
Yes.
Sort of.
At least.
With a black accent.
Not sure where he was born.
He's Hawaiians completely talk way different than Trump. My dad lives in Hawaii. Angel lives in Hawaii, my girl. And he does not talk like he's from Hawaii. He supposedly grew up in Hawaii, but he talks like the black dude when he wants to. What's up with that? He's only half.
I don't know, dude.
I would vote for, if I had a choice, who would I like to be president?
Bernie Sanders.
No, I don't even know who the hell that guy is, and I don't care.
Okay.
Who is he? He's a Democrat, right? I don't like him.
He's independent.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder his name's always thrown out.
Yeah, which means he's not going to amount
to anything. What's the name of that doctor, the crazy guy?
Phil. The
gynecologist.
I have no idea.
The old guy that ran with Bush and the Republicans like shoot him off.
The old gynecologist who ran with Bush?
Yeah, was going to not run with Bush, but was, you know, when Obama was going to, with McCain and all that. It was, who was it? My girlfriend knows. She was a libertarian out of all of them.
Is this your girlfriend's Angel?
Yes.
Bring her over.
She's asleep.
Oh, well, then why are you yelling to her?
She knows the guy's name. I forgot. Let me ask her. Hold on.
Okay. This is the most insane conversation I've ever had. He just yelled to his girlfriend, who is asleep. I don't even know what to say.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul was a gynecologist?
Yeah. Ron Paul was a gynecologist. And his son is what? Rand Paul. This is kind of, all politicians are wacky, dude.
I didn't know.
Anyways, we're out of that.
All right, fine. Let's get out of that then.
Luke Easter's he's like a total conservative.
Okay.
Have you ever looked at his Facebook?
Nope.
It's all like, you know, gun control.
Really?
Some people can get it. I'm not saying Luke is extreme, but some of my friends are super extreme, like with the gun control thing.
Uh huh.
So, yeah.
Where are you at on gun control?
I think everybody should be able to own a gun. As long as, you know, it's for protection. That's what I think of it. Conservative view. What are you? You don't want guns?
No, I don't need a gun.
Well, no, what do you think of people that own guns, like Texans?
I think it's, since you asked me, I mean, I think it's fucked up that I can't go buy Baker's vanilla.
The what?
I can't go buy vanilla extract because it has alcohol in it.
Right.
Okay. I can't buy baby formula because it's locked behind the counter.
Weird.
I have a hard time even driving across the parking lot if your driver's registration isn't, the little sticker on the license plate isn't the way it's supposed to be. But
right.
I could hop in the car and drive to Walmart, pick up a rifle.
Weird.
It ain't right.
It's kind of bizarre, huh?
I'm not saying people shouldn't be allowed to own guns. I'm saying it should be a little bit more complicated.
And also like medication, you know? It's like, okay, I need antibiotics. I know I need it. I know I can... You have to go to the doctor.
Right.
Come up with $150. Right. Or else you're stuck going to the pet store and taking the freaking antibiotics for fish.
That's crazy. You have to stop taking animals medication, Eric.
But I know sometimes you've got this strep throat, you know, and you can't make it.
So you're taking fish antibiotics?
Can you see that thing?
Is that your dog?
Yeah, that's the epileptic dog. Maggie, come on, buddy. Say hi.
Hi, gorgeous. Oh, my goodness. I love her.
Yeah, she just woke up.
Oh, hi,
baby. She's on a phenobarbital. So she's kind of like, I think phenobarbital is like a downer, sort of.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what it is, but, you know, it keeps her drowsy. Like, one day I was just sitting, next thing, sliding on me. 80-pound dog sliding on me. But he's
just kind of losing.
She's just tripping. She's fine, though. She's fine.
You left Tourniquet in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed on the Wikipedia page that it said in 1996, Victor left for, quote-unquote, theological differences. And then after that, later, Gary was asked to leave. What was going on?
Okay, I'm going to tell him, hey, what are you doing? Get back in the room. Going back. The dog.
Oh.
He's a good dog. He's only a year or something if he went back in the room.
Good dog.
Yeah. Okay, theological differences. I think that was an excuse. That's not the truth. Maybe a little bit of the truth, but that's not the whole truth. I already told you what the truth was. Because in Germany, he wasn't allowed to drink beer.
So he said...
And him and Ted almost got into a fist fight inside a bathroom because Victor wanted to hang out with the Germans and drink beer. With them for a little bit. What's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong with that? And that's what Victor and Victor's told me this many times. He said, look at you.
What? Me drinking?
Yeah, gosh, that would kick your butt. No, I'm kidding.
It's quarter to nine at night. I'm 40 years old. I'm drinking.
I know. I'm kidding. But yeah, you know, that's why Victor had enough. That was enough for him. It's not because he became an Orthodox Christian. Orthodox Christians are cool, by the way. They're all Christians.
Yes, they are.
There's nothing wrong. In fact, I want to go. I want to go with Victor. I've just never done it, and he's promised. I kind of feel bad I haven't gone.
So the German beer incident was kind of the
Yes, in Germany, inside the bathroom.
The pinnacle with Victor and Tourniquet. Victor and Ted, I should say.
Yes.
And then Gary was asked to leave. What was that all about?
I was way, way out of there. But I'm going to tell him what I think happened. And I don't know what the reasons, the ultimate reason. This is going to be hard, man, because I don't want to make anybody look bad.
Don't say anything you're not comfortable saying. I'm not forcing anything on you.
I'm just going to say this might not be completely true, but I'm going to say what I think happened.
Okay, that's fair.
I got my own brain. I can try to figure. You know, that's what detectives do. They figure shit out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to figure personalities. Okay, what happened?
Uh-huh.
What would cause this guy to do this and kick somebody out?
Right.
Gary was there in the beginning with Guy. Tourniquet was one of the most important things in Gary's life. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact. Tourniquet was very important to Gary, still is to this day. You know, Gary and I, we didn't get along back then.
Hmm.
You know, it was my buddies were Victor, Ted. That's it.
Hmm.
And Luke. You know, I loved Guy, but Guy was never around, you know. He was one of those guys that just were there for the recording and for the shows. That's it. You never saw Guy. Okay. Where the hell was I?
We're talking about Gary asked to leave.
Okay. Gary and Luke were really, really good friends.
Gary and Luke, okay.
They were buddies. They were on the road. They were roommates. Gary, dude, he smokes the worst. I mean, snores the worst. What did I say, smoke? Snores. Like the Tasmanian devil, dude. So for Luke to be in freaking the room, they had to be close friends.
Okay.
You know, and for some reason, it got super nasty with them. You know? Hmm. Now, this, they were younger at the time. Everybody got super nasty. I got nasty with Victor. I got nasty with Gary. And all bands go through this. A lot of bands go through this, secular bands especially. He was asked to leave. I don't know why. We can speculate why, you know. Anybody wants to use their brain, just look what's going on. You know, use your brain, what's going on, you know. Maybe Ted needed more money, maybe Ted needed more control, but it was Luke and Ted that didn't want Gary there.
Mm.
And I know what happened. Probably Ted got to say, to tell Gary, I mean, to get Luke to out him, you know. I don't know who exactly kicked out, but Tourniquet is also Gary. You can't have Tourniquet without Gary.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Tourniquet without Victor or Guy. I don't care about me. You can replace me with Marty Friedman any day, you know. But
cost more money, though.
Hell yeah. I'm free. And I play Paul Reed Smith still.
Right.
But, you know, that was Gary's whole life. Wow. You know, Tourniquet was very, very important to Gary. You know, I know that for a fact.
That's a bummer.
And the bitterness started there between those two. You know, I was still talking to Ted at the time. You know, and I hear stories and whatever, you know. You know, yeah, fuck Gary, yeah, this and that, you know, but then, like, you get older, you get a little, like, you know, you start thinking what is right.
Fuck Gary, that's Ted?
No, me. I was saying, yeah, screw Gary. Yeah, we don't need Gary, Victor's a cult member, and yeah, I want to be with you guys, you know, that's me. I'm talking about me being a dick.
Got it, okay.
But at the end, you know, Gary got ousted for some reason, like freaking Saddam Hussein ousting another fucking dictator in a little tiny band situation. Very tiny band situation, but
wow.
Gary loves Tourniquet. That's still part of his life and always will be part of our lives. Victor's life, Aaron's life, Luke's life. But for some reason, the original members, no matter how long they're in freaking Tourniquet, we are always Tourniquet. I don't know why that is. I was only in it for 2-3 years.
Yeah, really. I mean,
and Aaron's been in it for how long? He can never take my place.
Pushing sorry, 2 Eric. Decades.
Nobody can ever take my. I'm sorry. Aaron's got a big shoe to fill. Gary's in mine. Not gonna happen, bro. You might as well quit. No, I'm kidding, Aaron. I'm sorry. Oh my god. This is why we all had strong personalities.
Yeah.
You know, Tourniquet had all strong personalities. I had a stronger personality than Ted. I'd kick his ass. If I wanted to. No, I really want to be friends with Ted again. You know, even though I'm shit talking right now.
I know. I think anybody who's listening. Honestly.
I'm doing this because I want him to be my friend again.
Doing this.
And I will honestly, not stop. I will not stop until we talk, at least on the phone.
Okay, whoa. This seems like a good of a place to stop as any. I'm speechless. At this point, I don't know what to say to the guy. Stick around till next week.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.